With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hold on 1 second, man. My router just fell over.
No worries. Take your time. Do your thing. Give me a shout.
I show up early. I was cost you your time yesterday.
Well, it's nice for me to be doing one of these in the daytime because most of my guests are either based east or west coast of the States. And, you know, as you'll know, most musicians don't tend to get out of bed or want to do anything before the middle of the day.
Well, that's why they're where they're at.
So for me to actually be on a Zoom chat in daylight is a refreshing change, John. And
there you go, man. Shit. I'm
grateful.
Well,
for
let's get it. Let's get it rocking, because I got a lot of shit to do, as I'm sure you do.
Always. Yeah. I just finished your book.
Which one? Oh, that
first one.
All right.
Evolution of Cro-Magnon.
You got the first edition too.
Yeah, man. And I've got to say, there's a few passages in it that I'd like to focus in on to start the chat off. But there's one sentence which really jumped off the page to me, where you talk about how adversity builds character. And that's something that I've always felt and thought ever since I was a kid, as long back as I can remember. And a lot of the best people that I know are people who've been through shit. And
right.
I think when you go through hard times and you overcome them, you know, it does instill good qualities. And I'd like to just start there, if that's all right, and get your take on that and how going through shit in life and getting through it and coming out the other side does indeed make us more resilient and, you know, greater empaths and, you know, harder working people. Like, so many good qualities, I think, come from the struggle, don't they?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, that's why they say whatever doesn't kill us, it makes makes us stronger. So, you know, I posted about my teacher, Robert McKee, yesterday.
This is your writing teacher.
Yeah, that true character is only revealed under pressure. The greater the pressure, the greater the revelation of true character. So if you think about that, everybody walks around with a mask in public, characterization. Oh, I'm this, I'm that, I got tattoos, I'm a tough guy, I'm a, you know, check me out, I'm a hot chick, this, that, I got all my shit together. But the real bullshit detector is when you apply that pressure. That's when the true character of that person comes out. And I've seen it time and time again, so many instances. You know, if you read the book, you know, my journey on the streets in New York started 1976, I started running away from the boys' home I was in, and all these crazy circumstances. And it was always, I always noticed out on the streets, especially. That's why KRS-One said, real bad boys move in silence. They don't make a whole big show about what's going to happen. And, you know, and it, there's another analogy, empty barrels make the most noise. So the ones that's always talking shit, when it comes down to it, they fold like a cheap suit. Some of the baddest people I know on the planet are the most humble and unassuming. So, you know, it's like, it really takes that pressure to see where people are at. And, you know, I've learned to welcome it and to realize it and to move forward through it. That's why I take up the challenges that I do and always assign goals. And I always got, I'm always getting after shit. I talked about it in that book, The PMA Effect.
That's the one I'll be buying and reading next, John. And I'm excited to read that one because for me, I've really connected with that philosophy in this last 12-month period.
Yeah.
You know, as a professional DJ, a lot of my income and livelihood comes from touring and performing and, you know, playing out and about, which has been removed in the last year. So I've had to massively readapt, not just my financial lifestyle, but my mental attitude towards life, because, you know, the chips have definitely been down this last year. And I guess the main thing with PMA is that it's not being happy-go-lucky all the time, but it's even through the hard times, keeping that optimism and hope in you alive to get through the fucking shit, to make it through
exactly.
to the other side.
I mean, you know, that's what I say. I'm a work in progress too. Like my, I got fucking demons from my past. I got shit I'm still working through. They rise up, you know, from time to time, and you got to deal with it. But this last year has been a huge test. And what I said was that, and it's why I started a coaching business that deals specifically with discipline, because if you didn't get your shit done in the last year, all these projects we had going, it wasn't a lack of time. It was a lack of discipline. And I tried to use the last year to get healthier. I finished two books. I'm working on a new album. I trained and finished an Ironman last November in Cozumel, and I was sick as fuck. I got that Mexican bad water. So race day. Growing up in the porta potty, in the woods, you name it. It was an ugly day, but I got it
everywhere.
I got it done, man. You know, we'll spare the details on that. But, you know, it was.
I wrote a book this year as well, John. I can't see it. Hold it steady.
Life
in the stocks. So nice. It's based on conversations from this show. I got your old friend Jesse Malin to write the foreword.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
Very kindly agreed. And
I saw Jesse in 1981. I think he was like 14. And he was playing Max's Kansas City with his band Heart Attack. And the fucking guitar was bigger than him. We go way back.
He's a good guy, isn't he?
And he's the best.
There's a lot of mutual friends and people that I know and have had on the show that I know you're good friends with. And that's why I was excited to talk to you today.
Absolutely.
You know, Michael Alago, who I'm friends with on Facebook as well. I love his almost daily updates of you coming around to his apartment.
Well,
block
I delivered
to deliver him
food last night. And we had, you know, as they say in your country, we love taking the piss out of each other, man.
Yeah.
He's a great person. And through this whole thing, I've been cooking a lot more at home because I was also getting the recipes together for my cookbook. That's one of the books that's coming out. So I would be testing the recipes and making food. And the thing was, I'd always make a little extra so that I could bring him food because he has health issues and can't, the restaurants weren't open and he's not the type of guy that's going to sit there and cook. So I was like, what the fuck, you know? Just like it started out casually, like, hey, you want a cup? I got a couple of extra, you know, whatever the fuck. And he'd be like, yeah. And then it, you know, it's just like the whole
escalated.
Fucking, the Tupperware fucking, you know, with the Tupperware. Just like the latest one that I just posted. He posted yesterday. He's a great person. If you haven't seen his documentary on Netflix, Who the Fuck Is That Guy? He signed Metallica. Good. He worked with Cyndi Lauper, Public Image Limited, Johnny Lott. I mean, you name it. He did U2's first show in America.
Yeah. No, we spoke all about that on the show, and I read his book as well. I'm Michael Alago. And again, somebody like yourself that has been through like hell, absolute hell, to get to where he is today, and yet he still, like yourself, has this spirit and light and positivity that just shines out of you. And it's just, I think it's a true testament to the kind of people you are that, you know, you could easily have given up a long time ago, right? And got mad at the world and down on the world.
And that's not to say I haven't been knocked on my ass. I mean, I fell into a relapse of addiction for 2 years in 88 to 90. You know, freebase, crack cocaine, pills, drinking. It's not how many times we get knocked on our ass. It's how many times that we get up. And one of the things, I have a 10-step process to becoming more disciplined in life. And one of those processes is to identify your support network. Who the fuck are you hanging out with? Who are you spending your time with? You know, the people we spend time with, we're going to take on the qualities. You know, if I'm not a crackhead, I'm not hanging out with crackheads. If you're hanging out with thieves and drug addicts, you're probably going to end up being a thief and a drug addict. There's no other reason to associate. You give association. Like, I have people that I know that I have addiction issues, and I'll help them work through it. And I speak at drug programs, and I've spoken at prisons. We just did a documentary called 30 to Life with a bunch of guys who served over 20 years in the worst prisons in the California prison system. And so, you know, that's a different issue. But I try to surround myself with positive people and top tier human beings that I can learn from too, men and women that are kicking ass in life. And, you know, I'm writing this discipline book now too. It's book number 6. And it's all about discipline and what it takes to achieve goals in life. You know, what the quality of discipline is that, you know, habits create routine. You know, the habits that we choose daily create the routines, and that those routines become who we are. And that's why discipline is important. You know, it's like the rudder steering the ship. You know, I was in the Navy. I worked as the quartermaster. We would steer the ship. So the rudder is everything. You know, when you give a command, right rudder 30 degrees or whatever, that's moving the rudder of the ship. That's directing the ship and steering the ship on your course. Discipline is that rudder. Without that, you're going to be thrown all over. You're going to be rocked by the seas of life, man. So I just, and there's so many people talking shit on social media.
All day, every day.
The flappers. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I got that. I got a million things going on. I'm going to be a fucking rock star. You know, it's like, I don't give a fuck about that. I look to see the example people are setting. That's why my teacher, Prabhupada from India, said, example's better than precept. There's all kinds of people talking shit. I'm looking to see, what are the actions of that person? Yeah. Not the words. What are the actions? That's the real character. That's the true character.
Yeah. And another thing I don't know whether you directly say this in the book, but it's what kind of inspired a certain thought in my mind, which is that so many people just seem to be asleep at the wheel. And, you know, this last year has been such a period of, well, it should have been, I think, for everybody, but it's certainly been for me, and I'm sure it has for you as well, a period of self-discovery and self-reflection and growth and change and, you know, evolution. And a lot of the people that I see online are just like, I can't wait for shows to return, which of course we all can't, but that's kind of all they're thinking about. And it's like, well, your life isn't on pause right now just because you can't go to a gig. You can still be doing so many of the things that you want to do.
Well, I think, like, myself personally, this whole time and taking this time to myself, I put my value system under the microscope. You know, what's important? All my tours were canceled.
Yep.
With the Cro-Mags. All my walking tours, I'm a tour guide in New York City, deaded. So I said, all right, you know, it's not about flipping the fuck out. You know, so what did I do? It's like what they say on the streets of New York, you got to knuckle up and guard your grill, right? So I went to school to become certified as a coach, you know, motivate. They call it a life coach. I hate that fucking term because it's a lot of fucking cheeseball motherfuckers in that industry.
Yeah.
And I coach in discipline and mindset and stuff like that. So I used that time. I went to school for over 8 weeks, you know, in the course. You know, like I said, I was training and keeping positive and cooking good food and posting videos. And but it really made me think, like, even if no matter what, because these lockdowns, you know, I have my take on this whole bullshit that's going on. And, you know, I think it's to usher in the fourth fucking generation of this whole massive change. They keep talking the Industrial Revolution, the fourth. You know, there's a lot of shit being piggybacked on these lockdowns and all this bullshit and taking more control of people's rights, taking away people's rights. But I'm not going to sit there and post political bullshit all fucking day long. I know what the fuck's going on. I'm not a fucking idiot. I can see what the fuck's been going on, and it's uncalled for and unjust, but they're doing what the fuck they're doing. So we have to alter what we're doing so that we don't start bugging out.
Like, yeah. And I've noticed a lot of people, all they do seem to do is complain about how the government isn't representing their best interests. Like they're somehow,
well, they aren't.
They're somehow surprised by that. It's like,
if you're surprised by this, you forgot your fucking history.
Yeah.
Because the government, it's called corporate America for a reason. And England and Scotland and all these fucking countries, it's the same shit. Yeah. It's run by greedy corporate motherfucking scumbags. And, you know, the only conspiracy is the conspiracy to make fucking money. So you got all these companies, IBM, and they're rolling out this like trace and track bullshit and all this other fucking shit that's going on. And it's all to make money. The world's billionaires are loving the lockdowns. They increased their wealth. I think the last I heard that they made $40 billion more profit. Jeff Bezos, all of them. So keeping these mom and pop stores shut, who the fuck's going to benefit from that? Well, I can't go to these shops. I have to buy at the big shops. I got to buy online, Amazon, and all this other shit. And I'm walking down the streets of New York, and it's a fucking ghost town.
Yeah.
Every fucking storefront has a for rent sign. They put a lot of fucking businesses out of business. And they allowed McDonald's. Now, if you say trust the motherfucking science, well, here's the science. 78% of all COVID, the people who were affected the worst by COVID got deathly ill or fucking died. 78% of them were obese with comorbidities and pre-existing conditions like type 2 diabetes and high blood pressure, heart disease, all the rest of this shit. You know what it's caused from? Companies like fucking McDonald's, Burger King with your fucking Whoppers, Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC, which stands for killing fucking colons, as far as I'm concerned. And where's the push to shut them down?
Yeah.
They were fucking considered essential workers. There's the fucking hypocrisy of this whole bullshit. So you got to be able to fucking turn off that fucking television. That's why it's called television. Whose fucking vision are they telling? The news people are reading fucking scripts. They're paid marionettes. You think they wrote the shit? You think they're just speaking freely? They're reading from a fucking script that's handed to them. They can't go off script. If you do, it ends up like, remember that movie Network?
Yeah, or I was going to say Anchorman.
You just went the fuck off.
Yeah.
So they're being fucking told what to say. And
no, I hear you,
90% of the world's media is owned by four corporations. Every single one of them had vested interests in these companies that are profiting during this whole shit. But the point is, I spoke my piece on that. And well,
I just like to see more people get off social media. And as you're, I think, alluding to, live their life in a positive way. Yeah, they're going to try and take away our freedoms and, you know, put in these things in place that stop us living, but we can still get outside and do it if we choose to, rather than just sitting on our phones going, I hate the government, I hate the media. Why don't you go outside and change the way you think about the world by engaging with the world in a different way, right?
Yeah, well, you can't even engage, because now if you go, I saw people being arrested and fucking for sitting on the fucking boardwalk in Brighton, in Brighton. By themselves. So like, they're not even allowing you. See, there's a huge push to manipulate the masses. And I just wrote this whole song about it, what's going on. So I used that. I said to my guitar player, Tom Capone, he's in Blood Clot, my new band. And I was like, take all the anger and put that shit into a song. Yeah. He wrote the sickest fucking, it's like Slayer meets Quicksand meets the Cro-Mags, and it's fucking brutal. And then I wrote the lyrics to match up to it. So you have to understand something. It's manipulation of people's minds. Like when you sit there, you know, Frank Zappa talked all about it. You know, the slime oozing out from your TV set. I'm obsessed and perverted. I'm obsessed and deranged. I've existed for years, but very little has changed. And then he says, have you guessed me yet? I'm the slime oozing out from your TV set. That's why they got you locked in. I'm walking through the streets of New York. Every fucking thing is about COVID and masks and get the vaccine and all of this bullshit.
Fear, paranoia.
Fear. They're pushing the fear agenda. That's what it's all about. This is what I just wrote. Fear is weaponized, mortally wounded, victimized, rats hiding in holes for the manipulation of souls. That's the type of shit. I'm taking what I'm fucking seeing going on, which I've done since I've been a musician in 81. I've been calling the bullshit out. You know, now, so now the term New World Order was used by all the politicians around the world for years, starting after 9/11, that rhetoric. Oh, we now see a New World Order. Every one of them said it, Obama, Bush, Clinton. So now they call it the Great Reset. It's got a new name, just like aspartame was proven to cause all these fucking strokes and health problems. So what did Donald Rumsfeld do, who actually owns the patent on aspartame? He changed it to a sweet-sounding name. It's now called Amino Sweet, and it's in everything.
It's all about the marketing, isn't it, John?
It's the marketing, and they've marketed this whole fear agenda. Fuck fear. You know what I say fear is? It's an acronym. False emotions appearing real. It's fucking and false evidence appearing real. So fuck all that. You have control over you. Many people relapsed into fucking addiction and all this other shit during this time. And that circles right back to your opening question about pressure, right? It's pressure. The pressure is there. And that's where coal becomes diamonds over millions of years of pressure. So you got to get your game together. You got to get your shit together and, you know, stop worrying about all of this other shit. It's good to be informed because I got to know what the fuck I'm talking about. That's why I studied all this shit and I studied food and I studied nutrition and I follow the experts because I want to know what the fuck I'm talking about. When I say GMOs, genetically modified food, is fucking poison, I want to know why. And yep. and the reason is it's created by chemical companies that are using massive amounts of fucking pesticides. And those pesticides is the reason they're there to sell more chemicals. They don't care about saving the world. What do you think? Bill Gates has 500 fucking hundreds and thousands of shares of Monsanto, which had to change their name. They were bought by Bayer Pharmaceuticals, who made the fucking the gas, the Zyklon B gas that went into the Nazi death chambers. These companies, they created fucking Agent Orange. You want food companies that created this bullshit making your food, chemical companies? And look at Bill Gates. He's now the biggest owner of farmland in the United States. You think he's going to practice proper food rotation on crops and bring the masses organic, sustainable fucking produce? Hell fucking no. He's going to put GMOs in the ground. He's doing it all over India. If you and I suggest everybody follow her, because if you want to know what Bill Gates has been doing, and I'm going to tell you her name right now. She's the biggest activist against all this bullshit. And you need to follow her. Vandana Shiva. And if you go to Vandana Shiva movie on Instagram, you follow her. She fucking called it out how Bill Gates and Monsanto and the rest of them took over the food supply in India and Africa, destroyed the land, made people fucking in debt so that the only way they could get out of debt was fucking to drink the pesticides and die and get the insurance money for their families. This is what these people, these are sick fucking human beings. So I need to know what the fuck I'm talking about when I go on Joe Rogan's podcast and Rich Roll's podcast or your podcast or any of these podcasts. I need to have the ammunition in my fucking MP5 Heckler Koch fucking machine gun to fucking fire off the statistics. And that's the whole shit. It always comes back to statistics. Research Zach Bush, who's a doctor. The implementation of genetically modified foods and those pesticides that started in the 80s correlate exactly with the spikes in IBS, Crohn's, and the rest of the intestinal fucking stomach diseases, including colon cancer and the rest of it. That's because it destroys the gut biome. So it's not about just being plant-based or vegan or whatever the fuck you want to call it. It's about digging to the root of why all these problems are happening. And that's why I wrote books like Meat is for Pussies, and it's a comedy book.
That's how you reach people, though, isn't it? Is mixing information with entertainment.
Everybody got their fucking panties in a fucking bunch.
What about the title?
Yeah, I didn't come up with it, though. Somebody else did, and it was a woman that ran the publishing company that said, no, we want to run with that title. You gotta.
It's gonna sell books.
Well, she said, you know, you have to be disruptive in the space. If you're just like, you know, I was originally gonna call it the Go Green Road to Health, Fitness, and Longevity. And my friend was like, yo, who the fuck are you, Dr. Oz? Nobody wants that book from John Bloodclot, lead singer of the Cro-Mags. And then he's like, I told him about a story about this guy in a gym, and he was. My friend, I was holding pads for him. He was training. He had a fight coming up, MMA fight. And I started telling him about nutrition and how greens vastly improve your endurance and fight inflammation. And some fucking 1980s gym rat type motherfucker was like, yeah, people that don't eat meat are pussies. And I'm like, I said, what? So that's how the conversation started. And, you know, the book is nothing really about just eating meat. It's about all the toxicity that we're ingesting. So the title goes, yeah, you know, you pick up the book. Fuck this motherfucker. Like, who the fuck, you know, Joe Carnivore Diet. Okay, you know, got their fucking nuts in a bunch. But then when you open up the book and you fucking read through it, that's the first thing I say. I ain't judging nobody. I said, I got family members that eat meat. And friends, I love them all. This is a book to wake you the fuck up to stop putting poisons in your fucking system and care about the planet, how the planet's being destroyed. You know, there's a new movie coming out called Seaspiracy, And it's all about the destruction of the oceans. And we're not seeing it because everything's hidden underneath. But guess what? The fucking scientists are saying we're looking at devastation of the oceans like you wouldn't believe. You know that Fukushima is still leaking? Where's that fucking story in the media? I just talked to people in Japan. I did an interview on their podcast and I asked the guy. And guess what? I just did something with Vice over there a few years ago. They flew me to Tokyo. Fukushima is still fucking leaking into the ocean, but it's out of sight, out of mind. How come they're not fucking, how come they're not pushing that story in the media? They ain't got that shit under control.
The interrelation, John, between the material world and the spiritual world, is that how you try and stay sane through a lot of this destruction and mayhem and fucking there you go.
That's because how my day starts, man.
Right.
Like, listen, I've been in this shit for years. I'm a soldier in this fucking space. That's how I come at. But believe me, if I didn't do this, meditate, and if I didn't read and study philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita every day, I'm cracking this open. That's the latest passage. I'm getting my mind fixed first and foremost. The first thing I do when I wake up is touch my fucking head to the floor and say my mantras to my spiritual teacher and God, Krishna, whatever name you want to call God. I give thanks because the main thing people took away from that book, The Evolution of a Cro-Magnon, is how the fuck are you still alive? Yeah. I don't ever forget. Just like I said, the first time I ever freebased was in Miami, and the guy stole 2 kilos of coke from the cocaine cowboy motherfuckers down there. They came and shot up the whole house I was in with AR-15s. They did a walk around at before sunrise and firing into the room where I was sleeping because the dude left the house. And I was, he said, yeah, you could sleep in my room. And after 2 days of being up smoking freebase, these cartel motherfuckers came and shot up the house because he ripped them off. That was my freebase journey. That's how that started. And
yeah, that's the start.
That's the start of it. I can't even tell you the other shit that I was doing. I had fucking contracts out on me. You know, it's called in New York, they call it a KOS or TOS, terminate on site, kill on site. I was just walking up robbing motherfuckers in the projects.
There's a chapter in the book where you get into your girlfriend at the time's car, which you don't have a license for, and you go basically.
And I have federal warrants.
And you go robbing dealers in that car. And that story is one of the most insane things I've ever heard.
Oh, when I did the Colombian.
Yeah.
The Colombian, where I almost fucking got killed. Because the dude who was supposed, you know, the whole way that shit went down, it was like the dude in the back seat who always ran his mouth that he was a tough guy. He was the tough guy. I'm Cuban. I said Cubano. Nobody fucks with Crazy Dave. Blah, 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 blah. You know what? The guy gave me the 2 ounces of blow, and there was a word. Yo, this is some dope shit. That was the key
word.
That was
the signal.
For the dude to hit him with the Kyoga, the steel baton. And when the dude was getting in the car and leaned over, the dude in the back seat saw that he was strapped, that he had a fucking 45.
And he froze.
So he was like, he was shook. So I had to handle the business. I was like, there ain't no way this motherfucker's getting out of this car with this cocaine. This is mine now. And then the story goes on from there.
Do you think your spirituality and that path that helped you get clean, do you think you would have managed to get clean without that?
It helped pull my head out of my ass. That's what I fell back on. And I adhered to my plant-based diet the whole time. I would be up for 2-3 days straight freebasing and then wake up after sleeping for 2 days and be like, yo, let's go get some fucking wheatgrass juice. And motherfuckers would be like, wheatgrass juice? Motherfucker, the shit I just saw you do, you need to be in fucking Bellevue in a straitjacket. but I would go and get the wheatgrass and eat for a day and then right back to the drugs. But it was, I had to, like I said, you know, you talk about rock bottom. I had to go below. I had to go fucking, you know, you hit rock bottom. I went under the rocks. I was with the maggots and the fucking worms and just crazy, crazy shit. And I had to lose everything. And the story that I tell with the fucking feds and all them motherfuckers trying to catch us at the airport and I got away, like, I would probably still be fucking sitting in a prison somewhere if they would have caught me.
Yeah, that story as well is like something out of a movie, isn't it? It's just,
yeah, dude, like chaos. Like that was back before they even x-rayed bags. We sold her car for 2 ounces of blow, 2 plane tickets, and like I forget, I think it was like $500 cash. So I put one in the undercheck that went into the belly of the plane. I carried the other ounce in my backpack and took it into the plane with me. And then I found out she told her friend who told her father what flight we were on. And I was like, you think I would have been like, that's it. We're going to get separated now. Here's our Casablanca kissing moment. You know, I was like, we got to sniff all that blow in the overhead. That's how fucking crazy I was. And she was terrified of me because she saw what I was doing.
And I imagine the whole plane was pretty terrified by the time.
Oh, yeah. I was going up and down, fucking coke all over my face, shouting verses of the Gita and fucking like, you know, the stewardess was like, you sit down or we're going to have to pull it. I was like, the cops are already going to be at the gate. I don't give a fuck. There's nothing you could do to me now.
I mean, because again, there's this moment in the book where you say, like, after everything I've been through, I'm not going to go down like this because of the fucking drug addiction. Like, after everything you had gone through, it would have been such a fucking tragedy if at that point that's what would have claimed your life.
Well,
right?
And what happened was when I got back, they got her in the airport. This person's stepfather that married her mother is the one who did Ronald Reagan's inaugural ceremony. For president. I mean, her family was major, connected. Major, major players. And so I said, if we get separated, call the bar, which was like the coke bar called Alcatraz, where like everybody went to that was doing drugs. So I get this phone call and I'm thinking it's her. I was like, hey, Kate. Oh, I said her name. Sorry. I never use the name.
Kay.
Kay, special K. I say K, and she and the voice goes, it's not K, it's her father. And I go, wow. He goes, you're good. He goes, you're good, John. We had detectives all over and police all over LA looking for you, all over California. And he goes, I mean, we tried to sell her car and they had put a warrant out on me that I kidnapped her and I was in a cult and that I stole her car. So that's how they were going to get us. The car was reported stolen. So we went to her friend at the dealership and he goes, yo, I ran the VIN number. You guys better get the fuck out of here. The cops are on the way. This was out in Palm Springs. So we drove back and dumped the car to this drug dealer she knew. Get on the fucking plane. And she called her friend at the airport because she was terrified of me.
And do you think that was a kind of conscious call for help? Do you think she
absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. She wanted out. She didn't know how to get out. And rightly so, you should have been terrified because the shit I was doing, I was yoking motherfuckers up. I just had no regard. They got that saying on the streets of New York, no regard, Beauregard. I was just taking what the fuck I wanted by force, if I had to. If you didn't give it up, then I took it. But the thing was, when he talked to me, I said, he goes, well, here's the deal. Either you stay away from, they put a their daughter into this drug rehab program called ACI, which is on 57th and 10th. And they said, either you stay the fuck away from my daughter or you're going to prison for a long time. They had all these charges on me. Plus, he knew I was AWOL. Like, they knew everything. So I go, but I love her, man. Click. So I took that cocaine and I went to this crack house in the projects over there on Avenue fucking C and D. Like this fucking decrepit abandoned building where I knew everybody freebased. And I went there with my shit, with the 2 ounces. We cooked some up. These motherfuckers came up behind me and hit me in the head with a fucking pipe or bat, whatever the fuck it was, knocked me the fuck out and took all my shit, my money, my coke, everything. I went to Tompkins Square Park. It was pouring rain. I just sat there fucking rock, like bawling, man. Like, I lost everything. I had people looking for me in New York, everything. And I went to the ashram, to the Krishna temple. I said, if you don't let me stay here, I'm going to be fucking dead. So that's how I started climbing back out. I got back into my meditation, my training, all of that shit. And that was that was the way out. And I've been sober now, I don't know, 21 years.
Do you count the time, the days, and do you do like meetings and that kind of AA approach?
I don't do that. That's not for me. For some people, you need that. Whatever, go for yours. Whatever it takes you to get clean and sober, I'm all for it. I have my process of doing it. It's, you know, it's through the meditation. It's through, you know, training for Ironman. It's. You know, in helping other people, we remind ourselves of the lessons that we need to remember, you know. So yep. I'm always there to help others as well. And, you know, that's what guys like Michael Alago, that's what he does. He remains of service to so many. He's helped get so many people clean and sober off drugs and alcohol. He doesn't talk about it, that what he does, because he doesn't look for brownie points. But that dude has helped many, many people get clean and sober.
He's an amazing guy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
I want to ask you this, John. You talk a little bit in the book about the relationship between evil spirits and ghosts and drugs and alcohol. I wonder if you could shed some light on that and the relationship between the two, because it's not something that I think a lot of people a familiar or aware with is this idea that, you know, the spirit world, and particularly the evil energies that exist beyond this realm, you know, that there's more often than not a link, isn't there, between people who use
and
abuse.
Why do you think they call it wines and spirits? And the spirits is the harder shit. Well, you know, according to the Vedas, which I study from India, there's ghost living entities that have to exist without a gross material body. So they exist in a subtle form, and you can't see them because, you know, we have limited vision. So what happens when you take intoxication is your third eye opens up, but it opens up unnaturally, not through meditation or some deep yogic practice. So you don't have control over it. That's why when you see these people and they're fucking talking to themselves, it's like ghostly haunted. So I'm actually working on this TV show all about this kind of world, which is fucking amazing. And this person who taps into some crazy shit unknowingly to herself. And it's this, you know, I'm kind of developing the pilot for it, but it's nothing anybody's ever seen. But, you know, many people have experiences seeing ghosts. And I saw one when Cro-Mags recorded an album at Normandy Studio. They had a ghost there called Norman. And it was a fucking musician that OD'd in the house where the studio was, because they had the living facilities upstairs. And he died from an overdose. And I wasn't high on nothing. You would hear fucking noises and all this shit. And one time it was about, we were working on mixes, and it was just me and the engineer, Tom Soares, who was producing the Cro-Mag record. And it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. And he goes out to get some food or whatever. And I'm sitting in the studio, and the console is here, and in front of me is the big glass window where the live room is, where you set up the drums and all that. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden this light comes to the fucking window, and I see this face. And as soon as I look, I still get goosebumps. And I looked at it, and I was like, and then the fucking face pulled back, and fucking like the room got dark again. It was fucking crazy. You know, like, people only accept what they can see with the five senses, but there's a whole other realm that's existing out there, you know, the sixth sense. Like, we have five senses, but what's that sixth sense? Like, the movie. Like, you know, there's some deep shit that people cannot explain physically that exists metaphysically. And that's why I study the ancient teachings of yoga and the way these master yogis were able to, the eight mystic cities, SIDDHIS. It's a fascinating, fascinating world, and one I want to bring in a modern spin on it. And the female character of this thing that I'm writing is she's such a badass. And yeah, man, like, I've had to do a lot of soul searching and seen a lot of fucking crazy shit in my days, man. I've seen people I know through drug use lose their mind and get haunted by spirits, man. You know, it's crazy shit. And it exists. And it's just like, we can't see the waves of the cell phone or the internet or anything. Does that mean they're not there?
Yeah, the whole universe is energy, right? The whole universe.
The energy's there, and you tune into the frequency and you can get the energy. You turn your cell phone on to the 5G and guess what? Boom. So it's the same thing. When you tune into those frequencies, the minute you take intoxication, it puts you on the mental platform. That's what it does. You have now taken yourself out of the spirit realm because you're dealing with intoxication, which affects the mind. You're on the mental platform. So what? The minute you take some intoxication, you may get some visions if you take some mushrooms or peyotes.
That's what I was going to ask. What's your thoughts on ayahuasca?
It's temporary. Listen, if you use ayahuasca to get off heroin without fucking, which is what they use it for, without, I have a friend, they tried to put him in jail in America because he was doing the ayahuasca ceremonies. He's helped hundreds of people get off heroin without methadone, ibogaine and ayahuasca. So that to me is, hey, it's better to use that natural medicine and than methadone or whatever the fuck else they're going to give you. But that's a temporary stage. That should never be a part that's continuously going throughout your life. Oh, I'm going to fucking do another mushroom trip or this or that or the other thing. Listen, life is a razor's edge. And if you're dealing with addiction, even more so. One slip could be fatal.
What do you think happens after this life, John? The afterlife?
Pending,
what does that have in store?
Bhagavad Gita, whatever consciousness one remembers of at the time of death. That's why people always say, you talk to people that had near-death experiences, what do they say? What do they always say? My life flashed before me. My eyes. Why is that? Because the mind is bugging the fuck out, and it's trying to attach itself to that thing it felt the most comfortable with throughout your life. If that's bullshit, you're in trouble. If that's higher consciousness, guess what? You're going to pick up at that point in your life, in your next life. If you put in 25% of spirituality work on yourself in your next life, you pick up at 26%. There's no loss or diminution on this path. Everything we have materially, finished. You don't see any luggage racks on top of hearse.
You don't.
You ain't taking the shit with you. And even the quote today, Chanakya Pandit yesterday, a famous philosopher in India, said, Chanakya Pandit says, time is so valuable that even if you pay millions of gold coins, you cannot get back even a moment. What is lost for good. Don't waste fucking time.
Do you think that this pandemic experience has had a positive spiritual awakening effect around the world or not? I felt like it did at the start.
For some it has, and for some it hasn't. Those that took shelter of what their sadhana practice, sadhana means your daily spiritual practice, like my girl got qualified to teach meditation through the Tibet Institute here in New York. A lot of people did a lot of fucking hard work on themselves and improved. But a lot of people went backwards. And the ones who fucking tuned into the fear-mongering fucking TV shit and the media, they ain't doing too well. I don't pay attention to none of that shit. I go out on the streets. I do what the fuck I want. If I got to wear a mask in a store, fine. That's their fucking rules. I wear the mask in the store. I wear the mask. They make you wear the mask in the gym. I wear the mask in the gym. Whatever the fuck. But, I think a lot of people stepped up their game. I know I did, because I was like, I'm not going to fucking... When everything got shut down and New York was the epicenter of the whole shit as far as deaths. And why? What did the governor of New York do? The governor Cuomo ordered the nursing homes to take in COVID patients, or they were going to lose their funding. So these politicians are responsible for a lot of these deaths. And a lot of these deaths, my great aunt was in hospice dying of cancer. So they ordered, you got to take the COVID patients. She was already dying, but she got COVID. They listed her death as a COVID death. So there's a lot of bullshit going on with the numbers, the PCR test, all this bullshit. But the fact of the matter is, this governor caused half of all the deaths. And here's what a piece of shit these people are. governor, all these Democratic fucking states that have the most stringent lockdowns in America, the deaths that happened in their states was caused by them. Every one of them states ordered the nursing homes to take in COVID patients. So Cuomo hid the evidence because he had a book coming out on how he dealt with the pandemic in the middle of the pandemic. Can you fucking believe that? And he got an $800,000 book advance. Now, what if those numbers came out and said, well, wait a minute, you're responsible for fucking over 10,000 deaths of the elderly because you are a bully and you ordered the nursing homes to take in the COVID patients. And now it's coming out, he's sexually fucking harassed and grabbed and groped fucking 7 women who worked under him. So there's one set of rules. This is what people need to understand. Whether you're in the UK or the fucking US or Australia, there's one set of rules for these motherfuckers, and they ain't following the shit they're telling us to do. And then there's another set of rules for us. They're treating us like we're the serfs. Fucking go work for them, kick back the money so they can live in fucking mansions, and then they give you a $1,400 check. Oh, this check's gonna save your fucking life. You know what's gonna save your life? Opening back up the fucking states and letting people get on with their life and stop pushing the fear. You know, and that's why I say this, all this meditation and the reading and all this stuff, it combats this negative energy that's fucking constantly being forced down our throats.
It's nourishment, isn't it, for the mind and body and soul?
I ate better, I cooked better, I trained harder, I meditated harder, I studied more, I got my work done, I helped other people. You either use this time to better yourself or you went to shit. Or as they say in Ireland, to shite.
Is New York still a place that has that old school New York spirit? Is that still alive in that city?
It's fucking dying, man, because what's been replaced is a bunch of these fucking sheep that moved to this city. Many of the New Yorkers have left. I'm talking about, like, I'm thinking about getting the fuck out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because what the fuck? They, you know, it's not like the city of old where you could go to fucking go see bands and do all this shit. They're going to keep this shit going, you know, for as long as possible. They're already running the variants. Oh, the variants. Fauci, the fucking fraud, who has so much dirt on him with the shit he's been doing with pharmaceutical companies. He tested AIDS drugs on black children in foster homes in the 80s against their will. He was responsible for many of the AIDS deaths by pushing poisonous fucking drugs and disallowing alternative, therapies to be used. He banned them. So they had to travel outside of the U.S. to Mexico to get fucking... This guy is, and even Joe Rogan said, why is there one fucking guy? Why is there one guy running the whole show for America? Why the CDC and the WHO are run by the drug companies. They're run by pharmaceutical companies. People need to pay attention to what the fuck is going on and the narrative that's being pushed. Where is the narrative? Hey, meditate more, get out in the sun, eat better, exercise better, take supplements, quercetin and vitamin D3 and zinc and all these other sources that build your immune system and strengthen your immune system. No, that's not the narrative. The narrative is wait for the shot. And it's not approved by the FDA. It's AstraZeneca's causing blood clots. It got fucking pulled. All this shit. That's not the answer. The answer to health problems are not contained in syringes or pill bottles with your fucking name on it. All right? That's just the facts. And, you know, people could disagree with me all they want. I'm a living example of what the fuck can be accomplished. I'm turning 59 this year. I'm still out there in the fucking gym. I'm still out there crushing it. I'm still training and competing in Ironmans. I'm writing music. Hopefully, I'll get the tour soon, whatever. But, you know, I think once power is gained, they don't relinquish it unless it's taken back by force. Yep. The masses need to get together and say, yo, fuck this bullshit. It's time to get on with life.
Yeah, and I feel like we're all too busy fighting amongst ourselves, especially on the left. They just squabble away like...
What's the agenda? Divide and conquer. It's always been that way. Like I said, anybody who trusts the government obviously does not know history, even in the United States. Operation Sea Spray, the Tuskegee Airmen experiments, injecting people with syphilis, injecting kids with fucking AIDS and all kinds of shit to test drugs. These are sick fucking people. So if you're trusting them, you need to fucking check into the fucking loony bin. And the media is just fucking controlled, owned, and operated by the corporations. And they push the corporations' agenda. Bottom fucking line, man.
I think you can live a happy, productive, free life as well outside of all that shit. And you just kind of laid down there all the solutions to get into that place of...
Yeah.
Peace is exercise, good diet, good company, good lifestyle, good living, and just loving your heart. It sounds like hippy dippy shit, but it's simple when you think about it.
That ain't some smelly hippie Birkenstock tree hugging fucking granola munching bullshit. That's the truth. You know, it's not corny. It's that's the thing they were able to do was doing this whole shit, even with all this shit that went on in the States with the riots. They let people go burn down motherfucking cities. The shit's hysterical. And you see that? That's my friends in the 9th precinct. I support the motherfucking cops. I never snitched on a motherfucker in my entire life. But I have friends that are cops and they're good fucking people. And you know what? Guess what's happening now? Oh! We want to refund the police because crime is out of control. Well, what the fuck did you think was going to happen? Crime is out of control in New York. They don't even put that shit on the newspapers anymore of what the fuck is going on in this city. Me, I can, the ones that say defund the police, abolish the police, and you look at them, I'm like, motherfucker, you need the police. You are fucked without the police. Me, I survived on the motherfucking streets in New York in the 70s. I got shot. I got stabbed. I went to lockup. I survived. I went back on the streets. I got stabbed again. I fought like a motherfucker. Fucking gang members coming in my burnt out building that we lived in with guns trying to take our shit. You motherfuckers ain't cut out for that. You need the fucking cops. And now look what's happening. The same people that yelled, abolish the police. I guarantee you one thing. They got 911 on speed dial in their fucking phone. Because the minute they get put in check or get their fucking jaw slapped, they call fucking 911. And I've seen it time and time again. Is there some fucked up cops? Like the one who put his fucking knee on George Floyd's neck? Of course. But that's the agenda that was pushed. And it just created massive amounts, just like all the people that followed Trump or follow Biden. They're all fucking corrupt. It's just to separate the people. It's like the WWE. When the cameras are off, it's they're going exactly having fucking like drinks. Hey, we fooled those fucking dumb fucks. Cheers, guys! Let's have a fucking pint. People don't realize they're being fucking manipulated and played like fucking fiddles. I never voted in my motherfucking life because that's not the solution to the problems. That's why there's a book called The Science of Self-Realization written by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, my guru, my teacher. And it said, spiritual solutions to material problems. What did the police sing? There is no political solution to our troubled evolution. Right? That we are spirits In the material world. Hey, I can sing.
That's the path, isn't it? And
dude,
we can't control all of that, but we can control what's going on in here. You know, we can get our spiritual and kind of souls in order and combat the world as best we can.
That's it. That's it, man. You fucking, that's your coat of armor, your positive mental attitude. I talk about it in this book.
I'm getting it next. I can't wait to read it.
That's your coat of armor, man. And they're going to try to deploy their fucking daggers. You keep the proper mindset and you live your life. You, every day you wake up, you meditate, you study, you fucking get after it. You eat a good diet. You fucking exercise. You get out in the sun. You treat others with respect, regardless of what religion or political affiliation they have.
Yep.
The people need to come together. That's what needs to happen. Not drive another wedge between people, which is what they've been able to do. In the last year, it's fucking unbelievable what they've fucking been able to do. You think they're giving up, they're relinquishing the power that they have, that they locked the fucking planet down? You think they're just going to give that up? Nope, they're not. They're going to come with the next bullshit story that the fucking media is going to tell everybody. Just like, yeah, there's WMDs in Iraq and we have to invade Iraq. And Osama bin Laden had fucking guys with box cutters and all this other fucking bullshit, dude. It's fucking bullshit. It's bullshit. They've been doing false flags on people for fucking for decades, man, and getting away with it. And conspiracy theory, that term was first used to discredit people who questioned the John F. Kennedy assassination. And the CIA used that fucking word. So now anybody who questions the narrative, it's a fucking conspiracy theory. Meanwhile, what are you doing? You ain't even checking
going blindly
shit out.
Along. Yeah.
You're just fucking blindly like a sheep. And you know that when they bring fucking sheep to the slaughter to get them to go into the kill shoot, you know what they use? They use a sheep. They have one sheep that's trained and it goes bah, bah, and all the other sheep follow it. And then there's a door that opens right before the kill shoot. That sheep that led them in makes a left and gets out. And then the door shuts behind the rest of them and they're forced into the death chamber. Don't be fucking sheeple. Check shit out for yourself. Be intelligent. The information is out there. And that's the one thing I said. You're never going to defeat these people politically. You know how you fucking defeat them? Spiritually. That's something they can never stop. And it's time the people wake up spiritually on this planet, take control of themselves and their lives, take responsibility, get in front of that accountability mirror, like David Goggins says. Hold yourself fucking accountable. They can never stop an idea whose time has come. And that's what this is doing. This is fucking knuckle up and guard your grill. What side of the fucking fence are you on? That's what's going on. That's the way I fucking see it. I'm a street motherfucker. You ain't hustling me. I've put so fucking 76. I was in foster homes as a fucking kid getting fucking cheated. Once I got out of that fucked up foster home that abused us and took all the money and fed us dog food and beat the shit out of us and worse, I said, ain't no motherfucker ever bullshitting me and lying to me again. And ever since I went on the streets in 76, facing life and death, I never fell for the old fucking 1-2 hustle. I'm always checking shit. Asking questions is a sign of intelligence. They made it a sign of disobedience. Obedience to who? To your bullshit? I'm always going to question shit. That's what the Vedas say. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ishopanishad. All the books say questioning is a sign of intelligence. So I'm never going to stop questioning shit. That's till I take the last breath in this fucking body. That's what I'm going to do.
You can't say fairer than that. Did you used to live next to John Leguizamo, John? Is that right?
Yeah, John Leguizamo. I lived in 195 Stanton. That's between Attorney and Ridge. And let me tell you something. If you don't know nothing about that neighborhood and the Pitt Street projects, there wasn't no fucking white boys down there. John Leguizamo lived above me. And a friend of mine that I wrote something with helped him write his first, like, I think, Spickorama or one of them fucking things.
The one-man plays that he used to do.
Yeah. Mambo, I don't know. It was one of the first ones that he did. This friend of mine, Rick, worked with him. And then John Leguizamo blew up and then bought a whole building, like a townhouse on 7th between C and D. I don't know if he still is living there or whatever the fuck, but I you would see a lot of people around. Vin Diesel, Mark Vincent, going to Bad Brains and Cro-Mag shows back in the day. And it's a lot of famous, Steve Buscemi. When I did the two shows singing for the Bad Brains before CBGB's closed, he came out, brought his kids, and I got, like New York was just that. That's what it was. Everybody was chill. Like, I don't give a fuck if you're famous or whatever. If you're an asshole, then I'm going to tell you to go fuck yourself. I don't give a fuck how many movies you made or records you sold or fucking how much money you got. Like, that's New York, man. We just tell motherfuckers what time it is. But, I just keep writing. I got hired. I'm going to be working on this TV show coming up. That's all about the Lower East Side in the early 80s.
A dramatization.
Yeah, but the real shit, because it's never been done before, because they always get some motherfucker Hollywood schmuck.
Make it corny.
Or some asshole who lived outside those circles. Because the motherfuckers that lived it, a lot of them didn't make it through to be there telling stories. Or they did, and they're not a writer. I'm both. I'm a writer who studied to be a writer and wrote. And I'm also a motherfucker that survived all that shit and seen the craziest shit. So I'm very excited about this. It should be getting going in the spring, I'm hearing. So with Great. The writing, that's what they say. If the writer don't work, nobody works. The writers are the ones, man. It's like you give birth to that fucking idea. And it's the ones who see it through and follow it through, not just the idea people. Every cab driver, well, we used to say that back in the day. Now they're all, Punjabi and whatever. The
Ubers.
Fuck. Yeah, but then the back in the day, the thing was every cab driver has a movie idea. But who's going to execute and spend years writing that story?
Well, it's like Lou Reed said, right? Between thought and expression lies a lifetime.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. And unless you get those ideas down and get those thoughts into action, then you do spend your whole life talking about it.
Yeah, that's why I love it. It's about doing the work, rolling up your sleeves. That's a great book by Stephen Pressfield, who wrote The War of Art. He also wrote Do the Work. So, like, I have my mentors, and that's another part of the whole process, the 10-step discipline process, which you guys could check out johnjosephdiscipline.com. It's one of the 10-step processes of discipline is to find a mentor or a coach. My mentor, I'm able to send my script to Patty Jenkins, who did Monster, who won an Academy Award for Charlize Theron with her brilliant screenplay.
Yep.
And again, if the writer don't work, nobody works. She put that story to paper and got Charlize Theron, then took it to the next level through her acting. But who directed Charlize Theron? Patty Jenkins. So I get her to read my scripts. And Dido Montiel, who wrote Guide to Recognizing Your Saints, which was Robert Downey Jr.'s comeback movie. Nobody would give that guy a shot. And Dido, and he comes from the music scene too, the punk rock scene in New York. And Elgin James, who's doing the Mayans now on FX, like he read my I adopted the Evolution of a Cro-Magnon for Scream. So like to get notes and have these people as mentors in my life it's invaluable.
And you got to learn from the best, right? Who would play you in your movie, John?
I don't know, man. Somebody with some reach, though, because, like, they got to go to some dark-ass motherfucking places, and it's really going to be broken up into that first two characters, really, like the kid in the home, and then, you know, the
Do you know who should play adult you? Sam Rockwell.
You know, Sam Rockwell is, I actually know him because Sam Rockwell is a fucking dope boxer. My trainer trained, Aaron Dzhavanovsky trained Sam Rockwell. And Sam, if you're listening to this, what's up? He used to train Sam at Crunch in Lafayette Street here in New York because they had a ring up on the second floor. So all the Muay Thai guys and, you know, professional boxers would come there and train. It was really a fucking dope atmosphere. So Sam Rockwell used to train under my trainer, Aaron, who is a fucking beast. And Sam would be putting in the fucking work, man. Like, I'm impressed by that guy. I'd love to run into him one day. Somebody I know just had him on their podcast or whatever, but I'd love to run into him on the street. He's a super cool motherfucker. But I think he might be a little, you know, too old to play me, man.
I could see it working, though.
I love that dude's work, man.
He's epic, man. Yeah. John, man, thank you so much, dude. You're a great guy, and the fucking book
was... You see what's behind me?
Was life-changing for me. I love this. Go on.
You see what's behind me?
Is it the Sex Pistols?
No, that's the Bad Brains. That's Shepard Fairey for Obey.
Yep.
Sent that to me, signed. That's off the Bad Brains' first single that they ever did. It had pay to Come and Stay Close to Me on the opposite side. That's that's an early poster from that period.
Weren't you in the studio when they were making their first album?
Absolutely, I was. And you know how I got to be in that studio? Because this fucking drug gang that murdered motherfuckers for hire and had the biggest drug spot in the United States, their bodega for their lookouts was next door. And they came in 171, like I talk about it in the book. No, the Beastie Boys were there, all these motherfuckers, the Bad Brains were playing. And they tried to, they did shut the show down, came in with knives, smacking everybody, and nobody would fight them. I happened to be at that point taking drugs. I was on a Quaalude, a 714 lemon, which they call a gorilla biscuit. So I knocked the first dude out that tried to stab me, and then I got in a knife fight, and I had a chain, old school DC style, big ass heavy bike chain, fighting them motherfuckers and trying to stab me, and I made my bones, so to speak, on the street. And then the Bad Brains let me move in with them. They saved my life, though, because I couldn't go down there. They put a KOS on me, kill on sight. They were showing up with guns everywhere, like looking for me, because I knocked out their fucking leader, like their tough guy. Bang. He didn't think I was going to drop him. I fucking dropped him, bashed his head off the curb, and then they all came at me, and then, like, it was crazy. I lost the chain. I tried to run in the studio, and them motherfuckers tried to close the door on me, one of the Beastie Boys, to keep me out. So I pushed in, and just as I did, they stabbed me in my shoulder, and then I couldn't come down there for a long time, but finally I said, you know what? Fuck it. I went and faced them, and I fucking walked up. They're like, you a dead motherfucker. Trying to take me to the building. And Doc, the guitar player from the Bad Brains, and Daryl, the bass player, ran out and was like, yo, chill. And they were able to mediate between us. And then I hung out with them more and ended up going on tour with them. And my band Blood Clot opened up for them. We were the roadies. And that's how the life changes happen, out of like some crazy fucked up shit. All this beautiful shit manifested, you know, out of what happened. It's like even the lotus flower, it exists above the fucking turbulent, muddy water and is never touched by it. So it was like, It's just amazing how the whole path manifested itself to me, because that's when I got off drugs. I went fully plant-based. I worked out. We went on tour with HR. I was running with him every, you know, morning and meditating and smoking a whole lot of fucking ganja. But I don't do that no more.
But yeah, what an inspirational band.
Oh, unfucking believable. Anybody that wants to see the real representation of them, go to CBGB's Bad Brains full set 1982. You'll see that why when I saw them right around that time, 1980, like April, they had just started growing dreads. And when I met them, it was life changing. I was like, and I'd seen bands in the 70s at CBGB's and Max's Kansas City, you know, the Ramones, all that shit, the Dead Boys, whatever the fuck. But when I saw the Brains, it was just like, that's why when the Damned, they opened up for the Damned at the Bayou Theater, I think it was 79, the Damned were like, we got to take these blokes with us to England. People are not going to believe these four crazy black punk rockers. And they didn't make it over. But like, you know, they had that effect on everybody, on every fucking body. You talk to any of the guys in these huge bands, Fishbone and fucking Red Hot Chili Peppers, Metallica, any of these bands, and they're like this to the Bad Brains. Maybe one day somebody will write their biopic, man, because they fucking, they changed the fucking world, man. I'll just leave you with this last thing, because I always talk about paying it forward. And last year we did a festival outside in Rhode Island, and HR's band opened up, was playing too. So somebody in the HR was sitting in the car in the parking lot with his wife. And somebody came up and was like, hey, man, you know, it's great. You know, like, I read your books. You help so many people with, you know, your positive mental attitude and the dietary stuff and the training. I said, let me tell you something. That person sitting in that car right there, that's the candle that lit thousands of other candles. Because that person right there taught me and taught so many other people. And then we went out. And it's like that family tree that just the branches just keep going out and then bearing and bearing fruit. But it was him that took the time to mentor me back in the day. He put the mic in my hand and said, you're not meant to be a drummer. You're meant to be a singer. You got too much energy. He got me my first band. You know, like the whole shit. So like that is the spark that lit all those fires. That's the one candle that lit tens and thousands of other candles. It all comes back to the Bad Brains. End of story.
Much respect, Peace John.
And veggie grease, motherfuckers.
I'm going to come out to New York with Matt Pritchard one day because he is a dear friend of mine.
Oh, he's growing right now. That motherfucker, I love him, dude.
Yeah, I've seen you two grow close over the last couple of years, and it's been a wonderful friendship to evolve. And
fucking chill with that dude, man. He's a fucking maniac, but such a good bloke, as they call it, in your fucking side of the world over there.
Yeah, when he gets to his destination, which I think will be in like 6 weeks or some shit, I'll pass on your regards and.
Yeah, they just had problems with the boat. I think they were fucking had to get shit fixed in Antigua or some shit.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a good egg, man. Hey, the Brits, all you guys over there, UK has turned out some solid motherfuckers. You guys all come together, stay together, and don't let what the fuck is going on have us hating each other, man. Come together.
I'll drink to that.
All right, man. Me too. Cheers, lad.
Sparkling mineral waters.
Hey, I've got some fucking tea.
Cheers, John. Really enjoyed that, mate. Thank you so much. Love and respect. You have a great day.
You too, brother.
And I'm sure we'll talk soon. I look forward to meeting up one day.
Send me the link and I'll make sure I post it up.
Thanks, John. Take care, dude.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.